Lord today. If you enjoy church so far, say amen. Well, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I got some members who wants a preacher. And I want to tell you something. I want to be your preacher. I want to be your preacher more than anything in this side of his heaven. I want to be your preacher. I'm not a good pastor, but I want to be a good preacher. I want to mind him. I want to serve him. I want to lead you toward heaven. Because I ain't got much time left. Amen. You say, preacher, what you talking about? Well, I'm getting old. And you are too. And time ain't standing still for nobody. If you're not saved this morning, it's your own fault. Because Jesus died for you. Shed His blood for you. I want to share this simple thought with you today in Mark's Gospel. Chapter number 15. Let's do something before I preach this morning. Let's do something. We're not coming tonight, so let's just enjoy this morning. Let's stand up right quick. Stick your hand out and tell folks you're glad they're here this morning. Let's do that before I preach today. We got a good atmosphere of worship, and I thank Him for that. Thank God, thank God. He's a refuge. Amen. We're doing all right so far. Glad I come today. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 15. Brother Jack Honey, would you pray for me before I preach this morning? Yes, thank you. Thank you. Hey, Brother Will, don't take this. I want to say something to the congregation. I just want to say something before I read my text and preach, okay? Everybody look up here today. I'm glad I'm your preacher, your support. Mark 15 this morning. I'd like to start reading in verse number 7. There was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in their insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered and said, "Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For you knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy, but the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them." Pilate answered and said again to them, "What will you learn? What will you then that I shall do unto him whom you call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil hath he done?" That was a good question, wasn't it? They cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." So Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away to the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. They clothed him with purple. They plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." They smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, bowing their knees, worshipped him. When they had mocked him, they put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. Verse 21, what I'd like to preach out of this morning, they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. They bring him to the place of Golgotha, which has been interpreted the place of a skull. They gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. Thank you for the good time at the house of God today. Thank you, Lord, I can rejoice. Thank you, I can run and shout in the blessings of God. Thank you, Lord, when I can't see you, I can feel you. And Lord, thank you, God, when I can't feel you, I can see you. So, Lord, now I pray you let preaching be easy. I'm a needy preacher today, you know that. And so now I commit myself unto you and realize I can do nothing in myself. And would you help me now? Would you let preaching be clear? Would you let it be powerful? God, would you put in hearts today only what you can put in us? Help us now and we'll be grateful. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I will be brief this morning, but in verse 21, I'd like to pull my thought of the sermon. The Bible said, "And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross." This is what I want to preach on a minute today, on the daddy that wouldn't let the cross go. The daddy that wouldn't let go of the cross. First of all, you'll notice the cross that he felt. Give you a little bit of background about Simon the Cyrenian. He is from North Africa. He was a man some 800 miles from Jerusalem. Here, when Christ is to be crucified, they had their great Passover. There was a great celebration of the Jews that come back to the homeland every year. And there, they had a great Passover. They had a gathering that everyone would be reminded of what they had come out from under Pharaoh and crossed the Red Sea. They came out of bondage of Egypt where they had the blood applied to the door. Can I tell you, it's still the blood this morning. And the only way that you and I got out of this world is by the blood of His darling Son. And therefore, they always remembered, they recognized that great day of the Passover. Many people was coming back to the homeland of Jerusalem. There they would buy their lamb and the high priest would give them a sacrifice for the sins of their family. And no doubt now Simon the Cyrenian from North Africa, he had traveled some 800 miles to get back to Jerusalem. He comes by and I personally don't believe that he knew who Jesus was. He might have heard a little bit. And if you can sort of bear with me a minute on some background of this story, buddy. He heard a lot of things going on. There, no doubt, he'd seen a mob. He'd seen a great disturbance. And he looked out and there came a man out of the gates of Jerusalem. And there was a man that was carrying his cross. And on this Roman cross, it many times was like this. And so Jesus got up under that cross and he was bearing his cross. I'm reminded in the parallel gospel in Luke 23, the Bible said in verse 26, as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Don't forget that he might bear it after Jesus. So here the first point is the cross that he felt. And I want to say this today, the cross pursued him. Now, Simon knew nothing about Christ. As I say, maybe he had heard a great tumult or he had heard a great uproar. Maybe he'd come by to see what was going on and all of a sudden they placed upon him a cross. Can I tell you today that the cross is still doing that work in men and women's lives today? The cross is still pursuing men, women, boys, and girls in order to get them to heaven. You see, all roads don't lead to heaven this morning. Your good works. I've got a lady now that emailed us on the website. She's waiting for me to reply. She says, "Pastor, I've been studying now for 6 months about this thing of salvation. And I want to know about being saved by grace. Would you send me some scripture about grace?" Aren't you glad there is a cross that dispenses grace?
Now, I'm reminded that as Simon, he came out of the country. This cross that he felt, the cross pursued him. Liberty. Now, I like what we've done this morning, running around and bragging on Jesus and getting happy in the Lord. In John 12:32, the Bible said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." I'm going to tell you, it's not much drawing going on in a dead church. But I sure am glad that we have a cross that we can lift and a Christ that we can make much of today. And I'm going to tell you, if it's ever been a time and a people that ought to praise Him and love Him, it's the folks at Liberty Baptist Church. Oh, we ought to lift Him high and holy today. So we see a Simon coming out of the country. We see the cross that he felt, a cross that pursued him. Number two, there was a cross that pressed down on him. Now, isn't it amazing of the pain of first acquaintance? The reason some of you are saved today, because there was a cross put on you. There was a heavy cross that was placed on you, and it got you to Jesus. Somebody help me preach this morning. You know, I realize we that have been raised up in a good Christian home, but I sure am glad that God has allowed some people to pass by and a cross was pressed upon them, but it got them closer to Jesus than it had ever been in their lives before. You see, there was two thieves that was put on the cross with Jesus. Notice this. Their cross did different things. Your cross is always meant to get us to Christ. One said, "If thou be Christ, come down from the cross and save thyself." And the other said, "Lord, remember me." Isn't it amazing how people deal differently with crosses? Can I tell you today, if you've got a heavy cross put in your life, it's never intended to take you from Christ. But it's always intended to take us to Christ. And so we see Simon, he's coming out of the country. Boy, I want to say something right there real quickly in passing. I'm glad he didn't know nothing about the city life yet. Boy, in the city life, it's some bad things. Listen to me, mom and daddies. A boy don't get in much trouble with a gun and a dog. A boy don't get in much trouble, Brother Randall, with a fishing pole and a flat-bottom boat. They want to hunt and fish. Don't mess that up. You don't get in trouble in the woods. But when you get to town, you see, Jesus found him when his heart was tender. Some of you been in town. Let me tell you something. The cross is there for you this morning. And we see that one was coming out of the country, Simon the Cyrenian. He's a North African and he's 800 miles from home. He came a long way to pay his tributes to the Passover. Minding his own business. Did anybody have a cross handed to you when you was minding your own business? Now the cross he fell, the cross pursued him, the cross pressed down upon him. But thirdly, the cross positioned him. It got him in line with the Savior walking right in his steps. Thank God for heavy crosses. Keep us in line with the Savior. I read Luke's Gospel so you would see this great truth in the Bible. The Bible said that they laid upon him that he might bear it after Jesus. They had beat, they had mocked, they had ridiculed Christ in such a way. He had been in the Garden of Gethsemane all night praying, his great sweat, drops of blood. There his body had become so weak that he could not carry his cross by himself. So he got somebody else to help him. I'm glad he's still getting people to help him carry the cross. You see, I want to say this morning before I get in the meat of the message. He got under the cross to aid in accomplishments of the divine purpose. He couldn't take Christ's place on that cross, but I'll tell you what he done. He helped him with the cross. And that ought to be every one of our hearts this morning as members of Liberty Baptist Church and as members of the family of God, that we might help him with the cross. Now, the cross he felt. Number two, the Calvary he faced. Did you know when this cross was put in his life that it led him right to Calvary? I wonder what he's seen. You see, a man will never see his sins till he sees he's a sinner. A man will never see Jesus who he is till they see him as the Savior. He's following him up Calvary's hill. He knew nothing about Calvary. He knew nothing about Golgotha. He knew nothing about this Christ. But he noticed he was different than any other man.
For he was taking his place. In my place, as they cried, "Crucify him," as he was coming in the streets, and there Simon was carrying his cross behind him. I want to say today, not only the cross that he felt, but the Calvary he faced, he found the truth of Calvary. He found that it was a very, very ugly place. Could you imagine Calvary so bad that they'd put you on a cross and let you suffocate and die? That's one of the most cruelest deaths. They would take and they'd lay a cross down. They'd dig a hole and they would nail you on that cross. And they would put the cross in a hole. And they would pull ropes and they'd pull that cross up. And there you'd hang between the heaven and the earth. And you would die the most horrible death that one could die. And so therefore the Calvary he faced, he found the truth of Calvary, but somewhere on that road to Golgotha's hill, he found a trust in Calvary. He found out that the man that was carrying that cross could carry his cross. He found out the man that was going yonder when the heaven got dark and they said, "Surely this was the Son of God." He found the trust. I'm glad I found trust. Glad I found truth. But I think he found a turn.
I don't know where he turned. Sort of like Zacchaeus, Brother Mike. Jesus come under that tree. And he said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." I don't know if he got saved on the top limb or the bottom limb. I just know he got saved coming down.
Simon was following Christ. Somewhere out there he turned and realized he was a sinner and he needed a Savior. Wouldn't that be a blessing today that you could see Calvary and make a turn in your life? Now we're talking about the daddy that wouldn't let the cross go. You'll find that as Simon passed by, there was a cross he felt, there was Calvary he faced, but look at the Christ he found.
You see, when this man was going to Calvary with Christ, he found Christ to be near. I like what one of the authors said, the cross brought him into Christ's company. And the cross brought him near.
What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying the Christ he found him to be near. Secondly, he found Jesus to be dear. He never opened his mouth. Brother Randy, you're right. You're so right. Brother Randy, you preached one of the best messages this morning, but yet one of the hardest to apply in a redneck's life. When somebody's got on you and you find a way to get to them, Christ didn't do that. He reviled not again. He was as a lamb before his shears. And he opened not his mouth. He found Christ to be near. Can I tell you, I don't know what you're going through today, but I can tell you this, if you've got a heavy cross, Christ is near. Somebody said, "Preacher, where can we find Jesus?" Can I tell you where I found Him? Oh, I know He walked through here today and let us leave this place a little bit. I found myself, and I was shaking hands with one of the senior saints. But somebody asked one time, where do you find Jesus? I tell you where I found Jesus. I found Jesus over there, Brother Chuck, in the funeral homes. I found Him over there in the emergency rooms of the hospitals. I found him out here on the side of the graveyards. You see what you're saying, preacher? Well, you see, Simon found Jesus to be near, but he found him to be dear. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor, and I'll give you rest." I'm glad that when Simon got close to him, he didn't say, "Get away." But he just said, "Come unto me." Aren't you glad we've got a Christ? He says, "Come unto me." Some of you have done some bad things. Let me rephrase that. Some of us have done bad things. There's nothing too hard for the God of this Bible to forgive you of everything. This gets me to my last point where I want to thrust the heart of the message this morning. I hope you can see this because I never seen it till God turned the light on it to me this week. But you'll notice on this daddy that wouldn't turn a loose of the cross. You'll notice there's the cross that he felt, Brother Dwayne. Brother Jerry, there's the Calvary that he faced. Brother Troy, there's the Christ he found. But Brother Gerald, now I want you to see the children that he fathered. Look in Mark 15, 21. I wish I had a long time to preach right here. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. The children he fathered. Now, they were noted children. They're listed in the book. They're noble children. Isn't that amazing? When Mark is writing, he mentions Alexander and Rufus. Alexander and Rufus, the sons of Simon, were known at the local church. How'd that happen? They had a daddy that wouldn't turn a loose of the cross. You see, they said something about Alexander in Acts 19. I won't go there. But in Romans 16:13, this is what I want to show you this morning, where Rufus surfaces again in the Bible, found over in the book of Romans. And I want you to notice that in chapter number 16 and verse number 13, Paul is writing. Look what he says. He says, "Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine, the children he fathered." I can just imagine these young boys. Whether what age they were, we don't know when Simon, this cross was laid upon him. But we do know this. It affected their lives. Did you know that Simon's wife had become a great blessing to Paul? Matter of fact, he said, "Your mother and mine." She become a mother to Paul. Thank God for the people that wouldn't let go of the cross that has impacted their children. These boys sung a song this morning, touched my heart. Thank God for some fathers that wouldn't let go of the cross. Hey, Daddy, that little old young'un's counting on you to not let go of the cross. I could just imagine maybe, let's say that Alexander and Rufus had maybe come out of the country there with Simon. Maybe he had brought his whole family to Jerusalem to pay respect and tribute. Maybe he'd come there for a sacrifice of all of his family and brought them with him. Said he'd come out of the country. Maybe they come in with mattocks and hoes and shovels. And all of a sudden they took and they laid a cross on Simon. And there was little old Alexander and Rufus seen it all. Maybe they grabbed their daddy's shovel and hoe and started walking beside him all the way up toward Calvary. And they looked out there and they seen Daddy wouldn't let go of the cross. Daddy got back home and said, "Boys, I learned something today. I see Mama had on her apron at the sink. She done her hands this way and walked over to what he's fixing to tell the boys. He said, y'all got a new daddy. Said, I've never been this close to nobody like him. Said, there was something got put on me, but I sure am glad I didn't let it go. Because where it took me, I got saved. I'm glad something got put on me. Because where it took me, I got saved. There was Rufus and Alexander raised up in the local church at Jerusalem. And when Mark is writing and he read that story in Mark 15, everybody knew about Alexander and Rufus. Where's Simon? We find Simon's wife. Nobody knows what happened to Simon. Some think he was mentioned. Some think he was not. But wherever Simon went, we'll meet him one day. Because he wouldn't let go of his cross. We ought to thank God for some church fathers that didn't let go of their cross. Brother Monroe Wiggins, in my book, was one of the greatest preachers in this area I'd ever known. A man, Brother David, would look at you like he was looking through your backbone when he preached, but yet he'd preach with tears and weep over your children when he'd preach. Never been a better man than Brother Elmer Kaysen come to my trailer that Saturday and told me about you. Thank God. Boy, they had some heavy crosses, didn't they? Brother Donald, I wonder how many heavy crosses you've had. Brother Jake, wonder how many heavy crosses you've had. Brother Larry, wonder how many heavy crosses you've had. Thank God these men didn't let go of the cross. And now there's children in the church on account of them. You know what? The devil will never show you what you're doing right. A lot of you mom and daddies, when you got out of the car out here today and you come up in these steps. Miss Sharon, I want you to come. I want you to play something on this morning. And then the little young'uns got out behind you. See, all the devil told you was it's Sunday and you're real busy. But I doubt if the devil told you that you're affecting your children like nobody else can affect them. I doubt if the devil told any daddy here this morning, good job. Glad you're raising them up in a Bible-believing church. You know what some of you children ought to do this morning? We've got all evening. Miss Sherry's going to play. You know what some of you ought to do? Miss Emily, some of y'all youth ought to get started. Taylor, you ought to go to your parents this morning and say, you know what, I'm glad you didn't let the cross go. I'm glad you didn't turn loose of your cross because it sure has affected me. I want to tell the elders in our church, I sure am glad you've not let go of the cross. Brother Donald, I may go home before he does. What an honor to have had him in the church that I pastor. Run and rejoice with the saints of God. Daddy, listen to your preacher this morning. Don't turn loose of that cross. You say, preacher, I ain't hurting nobody but myself. That's a lie. That's a lie. You're affecting others. I wonder what happened to them boys, Brother Mike, if he'd let go of that cross. Wonder what happened to his wife. I believe he got saved, she got saved, and his boys got saved. They went to work in the local church, and everybody knew them. She become a mother to Paul in the church. Man, wouldn't that be something? Some of you elder ladies, I want to say this about you too. Thank y'all for not letting go of the cross. Thank God for godly church mothers
Some of you young ladies, y'all look around here at some of these elderly ladies this morning. They never let go of their cross. They just held on to it. You know why? Watch this. You know why? If it's a run, it's taking them somewhere. Oh, church, my cross has got heavy a few evenings. But I can never forget this. He's in front of it. My cross ain't going nowhere that He ain't been. And I love Him and I pray. Come on, young'uns. Go to your mom and daddies this morning. Tell them you appreciate them. Miss Sherry, go play. You just mind the Lord. Run, give them an old-fashioned hug today. Tell them you're glad they didn't turn loose of their cross. Go to your granddaddy and tell them today, I'm glad you didn't turn loose of your cross.